News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Wholesale inflation in the U.S. cooled last month. The Labor Department reporting producer prices were unchanged in June from May and up 2.3% from last year at this time. The report comes a day after the Labor Department also reported that consumer prices rose last month by 2.7%. The biggest year-over-year increase since February. There is a vote expected today in the Senate on clawing back billions of dollars. It's already been approved by Congress for public health and public broadcasting. An American Idol executive and her husband found shot to death in the Los Angeles home. A suspected burglar under arrest, says LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
The motive is unknown. We're still looking into whether he has any type of relationship with the victims. Right now, it is an apparent random attack. The house did not appear to be ransacked.
Surveillance shows the suspect entering the home last week. This is ABC News.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. U.S. Department of Agriculture, Rural Development, Wisconsin State Director Andrew C. Iverson has announced that USDA Rural Development is investing a $24 million loan to the city of Baraboo to construct a new central fire station and a smaller satellite station. The funding is through the USDA RD Community Facilities Direct Loan and Grant Program. The CF Direct Loan and Grant Program provides low-interest loan funding to eligible applicants to develop essential community facilities in rural areas. An essential community facility is defined as a facility that provides an essential service to the local community for the orderly development of the community in a primarily rural area and does not include private, commercial, or business undertakings. Eligible borrowers include public entities, community-based nonprofit corporations, and federally recognized tribes. Rural areas include cities, villages, townships, and towns, including federally recognized tribal lands with no more than 20,000 residents, according to the latest U.S. Census data, are eligible for this program. Funds can be used to purchase, construct, and improve essential community facilities, purchase equipment, and pay related project expenses. The current Baraboo Fire Facility was constructed in 1868, with an addition made in 1957. The new facilities will combine the Fire and Emergency Management System District for greater efficiency. It will accommodate the larger staff that is needed due to the increase in calls received. The new facilities will include space for living quarters, staff support areas, and bays. The central fire station will have a training area and the city's emergency operations center. The construction of the central fire center and substation will increase response time in the community and save more lives. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Nationally gets the victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game ended in a win for the National League. The NL jumped out to a 6-0 lead. The American League came back down 6-4 in the ninth to tie the game up. And so for the first time, they had a swing-off, a mini home run derby. And the Phillies' Kyle Schwarber responded going 3-for-3 home runs on Fox Sports.
Swing-off.
Later, Schwarber named the game's MVP, Brewers rookie Jacob Mizorowski. The Miz pitched in the eighth inning, allowing just one hit and retiring three other batters. And Milwaukee's Trevor McGill also making an appearance, retiring the batter he faced to end the seventh inning. NBA, the Bucks wrapping up their summer league schedule in Las Vegas. They'll take on the Chicago Bulls. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and again tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, today will be warm and muggy with a high in the mid to upper 80s tonight, upper 50s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 72.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Beautiful Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Chihuahua.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Chihuahua. Weeknights from 6 till 8. News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Mock, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live. Calvin is at Radio Park in Racine and Greg and I here live at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh.
This is an amazing space, Jane. I am. If at any point you see me just staring off at planes, just kind of snap me back, be like, hey, come back to the show. This is gorgeous.
It really is. And if you are a history buff, you've never been here, you really need to come up to the EAA Museum just for the variety.
Yeah.
Of planes that have been involved in various wars, and it's astonishing. It is. I have never been in here. Mm-hmm. I have attended the EAA before.
Yeah.
But getting close up to some of these things, like this little Spitfire that's over my right shoulder.
Yeah.
When you get up close to it, it's tiny.
It's very tiny.
It's like teeny tiny.
Yeah.
And people were shooting at you
mm-hmm.
in this tiny thing. So I just think it gives you an entirely different appreciation for the courage and the sacrifice.
Absolutely.
That these people did for on behalf of our country.
Yes.
So
there is an emotional factor to being in this space, looking at all these planes. I'm staring at one right now. It's made of wood, and it flew to defend our freedom and our country and our values, and it's beautiful. And I had this when I was walking through this, like I was taken aback.
Getting emotional?
Yes, I was getting emotional by it, and I loved it. It's wonderful. And we thank the EAA for letting us be here today on the first day of Todd and Jane on the Road, or Jane and Todd on the Road, the contract.
Well, it's just the way the shows fall, because our show is first.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
We can flip them back and forth. It really doesn't. We're not
exactly,
that
exactly, exactly. But yeah, this is our first of 3 days. We're going to be here today in Oshkosh. Then tomorrow we're going to be in Butternut. And then we'll be making our way to Hayward,
yep.
And we'll be having some great adventures along the way. So stay tuned this week. And then Todd will be joining. We'll be on at 2 p.m. today,
yep.
And it's just going to be a great time. We had a nice road trip up to Oshkosh, had a great dinner, and I'm ready to go. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I'm ready to go.
We are ready to roll.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Dick Nepinski from the EAA is going to be joining us after 9:30 mm-hmm. to talk about the events.
Yep.
The EAA officially gets underway on Monday,
yeah.
But as the show goes on, you're probably going to see some things. Some of these big planes are going to be moving these big planes behind us,
yeah.
Because they have a bunch of events that are coming to lead up to this event. There's already people camping.
And that was the thing that Dick was telling us is that, well, one thing, and we've mentioned this before when we've talked about the EAA, is that Oshkosh for 1 week becomes the busiest airport in the world. And also, he said, so today is July the 16th. He said that at the end of June, people were lined up, I think it was the 27th of June,
yes.
to line up to get their camping spot, and they stay here the whole month,
yeah.
Not even just the week. They're here the month because they just want a good space, they want to hang out, and people come from all over the world for it.
And I think it's one of those events, too, where you make relationships, and this is your meetup spot, right?
Yeah.
once a year. We're going to meet you at the EAA. We met 25 years ago, and we're going to, these are our buddies, and this is what we do. And so we're going to be learning a whole lot more about that as the show goes on today. Mm-hmm. If you have any questions, you can always text us.
Yep.
And check in at 855-752-4842. Also, leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream.
Absolutely.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Again, Dick Napinski from the EAA joining us after 9:30. Hal Bryan also is going to give us some of the history of this event and why it is so important and what it does for the city of Oshkosh.
Yes, it is a huge, I mean, it's a huge revenue generator for the city. And it's, and like we said before, it's, people are here for a month at a time to visit and to be here, and they, you know, they go to the restaurants, they go to the other attractions and things like that. And Tony on the live stream says, "I can't believe Civic Media built you a hangar. It's really the best.
It was amazing.
Luke, Mick Mathers is off in the corner. That's why I say, Luke, thank you for the funding of this beautiful space, the new Matt and Aaron Air office and studios.
Yeah.
Todd, if you want to use it, please give us a month notice. We'll let you know. But yeah, this is, it's a gorgeous space.
It's a fantastic space. Yeah. And again, it's going to be interesting to see. I think this wall over to the over my left shoulder here, those are actually doors.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think they're going to be moving some planes in and out as they make some space. They have a big event on tomorrow night with like 1,000 people in here. So there's they're going to set up a stage right behind us. So they got to move some of this some of these planes. We will be driving them.
Yeah.
We'll just drive them out. I'm sure it's fine. It'll all be fine.
Yeah.
We did want to start, though, with something that is breaking locally. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner, Eric Gunn, with the byline. Court orders state to stop blocking unemployment insurance for people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. The court order effectively ends a 12-year-old state law which disqualifies people from getting unemployment if they get Social Security disability insurance. This law was passed in 2013, only Republican support in the legislature, and it was signed by Governor Scott Walker.
Shocking.
It was based on the premise that most Social Security disability insurance recipients don't work, and that when they did file unemployment claims, they were double-dipping and probably committing fraud. Victor Forberger, who has legal practice almost exclusively focused on unemployment insurance, says that impression is completely false. Many people with disabilities who qualify for SSDI are still able to do some kinds of work, and they often want and need to.
Yes, and this goes back to, I mean, this actually kind of ties in with the Medicaid discussion we've been having for quite a few weeks now, where they're trying to paint those who get Medicaid with a broad brush as being lazy, shiftless, layabouts, playing video games, doing nothing, when that is, in fact, the opposite. We can talk about the matter of fraud or abuse and things like that, but when we're talking about just a broad generalization, it is absolutely inaccurate. And, I mean, we did a little bit of research, and with regard to, quote, double dipping,
right.
It said the monthly SSDI payment is $1,538. That's about $18,000 a year.
That's not a lot.
And the weekly, the maximum unemployment benefit that's paid in Wisconsin is $370 a week. So that's about $1,400. So you're looking at, if you were to get the maximum every week plus the maximum SSDI, you're coming away with about $30,000 a year, more than that, probably about $35,000 a year. And that's if you're getting maximum on both.
And that's the maximum, which most people don't.
If you're getting the maximum unemployment and the average SSDI. And when you think about today's day and age, that for a person to live and survive, if that's the only means, if they can't work, that's still not, that doesn't guarantee you a quality of life.
No.
I mean, maximum SSDI payments is just about the poverty line. So if you add unemployment, it's not like they're getting high on the hog.
Nobody's
here.
Nobody's buying Mercedes.
Yeah, and also this is a matter of people do want to work. If they can work, they will work. But if they can't, they need a way to. And they pay into this too. Like SSDI, unemployment, those are things we all pay into. It's not just
they
a magical...
They come out of our checks.
Exactly, exactly. So this is money that you invested into the state and or country, and you're getting your investment back to take care of you for however long you need. If it's permanent, one thing, but if it's not, it's just this drawing a line to make you despise poor people, working poor people, disabled people for some reason, but it's just this way of instilling fear and othering those who need help because they're seen as takers.
Yes. And I also don't understand, they have this great way of saying, it was Bob Kennedy Jr. said this the other day, people who are on disability or on Social Security spend on average 6.1 hours watching television. How do you know that?
Yeah, that's a very specific...
Are you going to everybody's house and checking in with them? Are you calling them every day? Yeah. What are you watching right now? How do you quantify that for me?
Well, and I mean, then do you have the average time spent watching TV by those who just have a full-time job? Because I know people who watch television from 4 to 5 hours a night when they get home. So it just seems like a very specific statistic. And I'm sorry, but I just, you know, based on his performance so far in the job, I really don't believe any statistics he's bringing to the table, honestly.
Well, and Robert Kennedy Jr. just fired two of his top deputies. What have they been in there? They've been 4 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, this, compared to the first Trump administration, some of these people are actually sticking around quite long.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, that it is records being held by certain people. But, you know, we'll see where we're at by the end of the year with all the other stuff going on. Epstein file. We won't get into that, though. Yeah. But back to the notion of I remember when Scott Walker pushed this narrative back in the early 2010s of this double dipping epidemic,
right?
And everyone was saying, like, look, no one's getting $100,000, and PJ on the live stream points out SSDI is paid by the federal government, unemployment's paid by the business owner, and it's not like you're taking money from the it's just trying to make it seem like they're takers, and they're not. They're just trying to get what they've earned.
Well, and I think they're trying to divert from the real takers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I do.
Yeah.
Let's talk double dipping. Let's talk about all the members of Congress who are trading stocks on information that they've gotten, that something that the Trump administration is going to do in the next 2 days. Mm-hmm. Let's follow that double dipping. Well, let's look into that a little bit.
I mean, and it's also the notion of looking at when we talk about fraud and abuse, the major funds usually come from business fraud.
Yes.
I mean, people... Individuals
can definitely
do a number, and there is a huge amount of fraud in the social safety nets. That's without argument. But we always put it on the individual. We always place the blame on the people, so we can fear them, other them, and have something to fight.
And to scapegoat.
Exactly.
To scapegoat.
While never looking at the businesses and the organizations that are doing it with impunity, as well as almost the endorsement of the federal government itself.
Christine from Slinger texting in, listening on WAUK. People forget that people who get these benefits spend the money, putting it right back into the economy.
Yeah.
And Tiffany from River Falls, listening on WLAK in Amory. And that's before taxes come out. I've received max unemployment payment years ago, and it didn't even pay my rent while I was job searching.
Yep. And that, yes. If you quote-unquote get, well, I'm not even going to call it double dipping. I'm not using their lingo to attack others. If you get a revenue stream from two separate insurance payments, whether it's with SSDI and work for unemployment, the max total you can get is not going to really cover a luxurious lifestyle.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, exactly. There is this idea, again, that people who are receiving benefits are, again, all driving Mercedes and getting a Lexus and another yacht. Oh, wait, no, that's Jeff Bezos.
Ooh.
Those guys. Yeah. I was confused. When we return, our administration is all about catching waste, fraud, and abuse. We don't want to be wasting money. That's a terrible, terrible thing.
Let me guess.
Oh, we're wasting a whole bunch of money. And we'll explain it on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network live from Oshkosh. Stay with us.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby back at the studio at Radio Park in Racine. We are live on location at the EAA Museum here in beautiful Oshkosh. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Todd Alba also going to be doing his show here live starting at 2 o'clock today. If you're in the Oshkosh area, we would love to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The building is open. The museum is open. So if you'd like to stop by, we actually have Kringle.
We have Kringle. Oh,
we have
my God.
Kringle and coffee that will, you'll grow.
It'll.
I think you will grow.
It'll wake up the rest of your days.
Todd Alba knows how to make one strong pot of coffee. So stop by and see us. We would love to meet you. This is just day one of our road trip with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. Today, Oshkosh. Tomorrow, from Butternut. And then on Friday, we will be in Hayward. If you're in those areas, again, come and see us. We'd love to meet you. I think we have some T-shirts and some other potentially swaggy things.
Jane, I just want to admit to you something.
Oh, you forgot the shirts.
I forgot shirts. I knew Luke Mathers would be looking at me right now while I said that. I forgot the
No
shirt.
Problem. We'll give you a coupon for a shirt.
Yeah, like when we were kids, like they had the Star Wars toys that they'd be like, here's a coupon. You send it to us, and in February, you'll get
sure,
something.
Sure. Stop on by. We'll give you a coupon, and then we'll... we'll send you a shirt, I promise. It's coming. Dick Napinski from the EAA is going to be joining us after the 9:30 news just to talk about all the doings here. There is a lot going on in Oshkosh. EAA officially kicks off on Monday. And then Hal Bryan, also connected to the EAA, going to learn more about why Oshkosh and how this thing all got started and what this means to the community.
Yeah.
Before we get to the news, though, I did want to mention this because it makes me furious. We're all about saving money. We can't waste money. There's waste and fraud. This is terrible. Oh, no, no. Well, U.S. to destroy 500 tons of emergency food as aid freeze stalls global relief efforts. Yeah. So we cut off USAID.
Yes. Yes.
Nearly 500 metric tons of high-energy biscuits that the administration bought, the Biden administration bought, for $800,000. We've had this stuff. We bought them. Yeah. We have these things.
Yeah.
So we had this $800,000 worth of these high-energy protein biscuits that were meant to feed children in crisis zones like Afghanistan and Pakistan. Well, now USAID staff had asked if we can still do this. Can we still distribute this stuff? We have it. It's already paid for. No. We're going to destroy it. Secretary of State Marco Rubio testifying in May that no food aid should go to waste. Oh, but internal documents reviewed by The Atlantic show that already by that time he was testifying before Congress that they planned to destroy the food that had already been issued. Burning up this food is going to cost us an additional $130,000.
I mean, this, they have been talking about the effects, and I know that Todd wrote a wonderful story on Civic Media on our website about how his life was impacted by USAID, but the effects that were felt by cutting this program were felt immediately, and they spoke about the food that wouldn't get to people, the people who would die because of it, and there was no convincing anyone differently that this was a terrible idea.
Right.
And now, and we're what? We are 5 months into the administration. We are now starting to see just, like, those numbers are starting to come out. I mean, this is just, this is shameful.
It is shameful.
This is, I mean, from a bunch of people who try to speak from a spiritual, faithful point of view, the idea of being, you know, pushing a narrative that is faith-driven, this is something that is actually in the book. They talk about, like, you know, I don't know, feeding the poor.
That is in the book. I believe that's mentioned specifically in a very specific book.
They made a couple of fish feed a lot of people. Yeah. But, like, that's just it, though. They're saying, instead, like, no, we're not only going to not do it, we're going to burn it.
Yeah, it's, I just find this appalling and atrocious and the height of hypocrisy.
Mm-hmm.
It is the height of hypocrisy to say that we are so concerned about all the we already bought this stuff.
Mm-hmm. What would it harm getting those? Like, what would it harm putting it on planes, getting it to the people who needed it? And whatever, you want to cut it off after that? That's reprehensible. But I'm not in charge.
But to do this
is just a slap in the face, it's going to have consequences on the perception of this country by those who once needed our help. They're going to see us as just a horrible nation. And they're not, I mean, let's say 2028 happens without a hitch. There's an election. Donald Trump is not elected into office. The repair work that the next president is going to have to do is going to be 2 years of their presidency.
It's going to be, this is going to take a decade.
Yes,
it's going
absolutely.
To take a decade
absolutely.
To fix this. All right. We are live here at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh. I absolutely want to drive that. I need one of those. I don't even know what that is.
It's a big car puller thinger. It pulls things.
It's a plane puller.
It's a puller of planes.
Luke, we need one of those.
Can you, Luke, put that into the budget? Just put it as miscellaneous spending, please. Thank you very much.
Jane wants a toy.
You know what? Actually, get two. Why get one when you get two for
two
twice the
better.
Price?
Absolutely.
Great.
We have news coming up next, and then when we return, Dick Nepinski from the EAA is here. He's been doing this forever.
Yeah.
He's also an old TV guy.
Radio guy.
Radio guy. So we're going to share lots and lots of stories. And again, if you are in the Oshkosh area, come on out and see us. The EAA Museum is open. We are here until 11 o'clock. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. Stay with us. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The National High School Rodeo Finals are underway in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Monday's go-round results in bareback riding, Cade Parrish of Laval placed 25th with a score of 65. In barrel racing, Quinn Donsky of Sparta placed 36th with a time of 17.896. Sage Kite of Oxford placed 61st with a time of 18.236. And Hadley Alderson of Onalaska placed 98th with a time of 19.416. In boys cutting, Cade Parrish of Laval placed 25th with a score of 198. In girls cutting, Lainey Lund of Lime Springs, Iowa placed 42nd with a score of 198. In goat tying, Callie Parrish of Laval placed 33rd with a time of 8.88. Kaylin Ollendick of Camp Douglas tied for 51st with a time of 11.08. And Brinley Hoffman of Townsend placed 65th with a time of 13.99. In pole bending, Raylan Johnson of Broadhead placed 27th with a time of 21.165. Maddie McBride of Holman placed 33rd with a time of 21.271. And Kaylin Olendick placed 60th with a time of 21.991. In rain cow horse, Raylan Johnson of Broadhead placed 41st with a score of 255.5. In saddle bronc, Trip Kite of Oxford placed 10th with a score of 71. In steer wrestling, Toy Regets of Cassville placed 30th with a time of 23.87. In tie-down roping, Kyan Nelson of Toma placed 27th with a time of 13.33. Nathan Van Ert of Wisconsin Rapids placed 33rd with a time of 14.18. And Lucas Miller of Mineral Point placed 47th with a time of 16.32. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Ayo Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
Scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and again tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, today will be warm and muggy with a high in the mid to upper 80s tonight, upper 50s tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and cooler with a high in the low 70s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 73.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes
right.
In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Folks just deserve a little bit better than the usual promises that they're getting. But our members of Congress, two of them from here in Wisconsin, recently signed a letter to Canada and said, Canada, you're on fire. You need to do something about this, which is really not necessarily the best course of action when your neighbor's house is burning down is to send a letter complaining about the smoke.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We're on the road for what makes Wisconsin great, this time from the EAA and Oshkosh Air Museum, along with Jane and Greg. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff coming to you live. Calvin, live at our home at Radio Park in Racine. We are on the road, baby. Matinair on Air and the Todd Alba Show on the road. Our first stop today at the EAA Museum in Oshkosh. If you're in the area, the museum is open. We would love to meet you. Stop on by. We have fresh coffee that will make you grow several inches. And we also have Kringle, if you are so inclined. So please join us. We would love to meet you. Thank you, Mike, on the live stream, who says, welcome to Oshkosh. We are so happy to see you both here. Civic Media is the best. We really appreciate that, Mike. Thank you so much. You know who is the best, who is making time out for us and let us in this morning and helped us get all set up? Dick Napinski is here from the EAA. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Welcome to the house. Great to be here. Oop. You know, it's... there we go. That works a little bit better.
There we go.
Yeah.
Ah, yes.
That's people have said that's always been my best voice. Yeah. But welcome to the house.
It's there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on. Today's airplane moving day, by the way, back of us going on. As we get ready for AirVenture next Monday, we're moving these airplanes out onto the flight line, and people can see them outdoors when they're here. And then we use this Eagle hangar inside our museum for a lot of public functions as well during the week.
Because there are, other than there's the great air show, which happens every day, which is fantastic. I used to come up every year for it. I knew some of the skydivers. But you have all kinds of classes, and there's so much involved with the EAA beyond just the air show.
Oh, you're right, Jane, because you think about this event during the course of the week. We have 9 air shows in 7 days, 2 night air shows and so forth. We have one of the largest aviation education conferences in the world. We have 1,400 different seminars going on during the week. We have more than 800 exhibitors, so it's one of the biggest aviation trade shows in the world. And then in this facility here on Thursday night, we put on a fundraiser for our education program that raises $2 million.
Oh, wow.
And so it's a big fundraiser, too. And, for a lot of organizations, any one of those things would be a full year thing.
Yeah.
And we do it all in 1 week. Oh, by the way, we've got 40,000 people are going to be camping right here, too. So we've got the second largest city in Winnebago County that pops up for a week as well.
That's amazing.
That is
amazing.
Wow. I mean, and you were saying before we got on the air that people, and I mentioned this earlier, that people show up like a week and a half ago to get good camping spots. Like they're here.
They're particular spots.
And they spend the month here. And this is their summer thing.
Oh, yeah. We opened up our campground on June 27th, and we had several hundred people lined up ready to get their camp spots. In fact, we've got a system to make sure, okay, people, let's be orderly and get your numbers. It's kind of a deli system. Okay, number one, go get your camp spot.
Wow.
And, and so they get in, and a lot of these people have camped next to each other for 20, 30 years. Their families have grown up next to one another. A lot of them are volunteers. They'll spend some time out here and doing everything. Some of the people you see pulling airplanes today in the red shirts, they're all volunteers.
No kidding.
They're out here and they're tugging airplanes around and just having a great time with it.
And we talked about this before we even got on the air, just about the history and the relationships. And at the hotel, we were at the Marriott last night in downtown Oshkosh, and I heard two guys speak, and I couldn't even understand. They were foreign, but it's like, I know why you're here.
Yeah.
I know. You're here for the EAA. I'm sure you're here for the EAA.
I mean, it's just, and walking into this room alone, and we've got a shot of it right now on the live stream, and now that some of the planes are gone, but in front of us right now are just these beautiful planes that have fought wars. And next to us, we have a Huey that fought, you said three?
Three tours in Vietnam.
Three tours in Vietnam. So the history is just, it's almost overwhelming. And there's just such beautiful artwork on the wall showing exactly where these planes fought and the things they did for this country. It's just, this room alone is perfect and wonderful. The rest of the campus is excellent. And I love the component of the education. And I know that when I was listening last year, I believe you were on as well, you talk about the educational programs you have for kids.
Yeah, we do. It all starts off with our Young Eagles program. Our members throughout the country donate their time, the airplanes, the fuel to fly kids for absolutely free, ages 8 through 17, our Young Eagles program. We have flown 2.4 million kids in 30 years.
Wow.
Matter of fact, there are approximately 20,000 to 30,000 of today's pilots under the age of 40 who started with a Young Eagles flight.
No kidding.
And so the people flying your regional jets today, your airliners, they're in the military programs. They are in all the college aviation programs right now. A lot of them started as that
here.
First flight, Young Eagle, and it might be here, it might be in a chapter someplace in California, in Arkansas, in Delaware, that they got that first flight with an EAA member and said, this is cool. I want to do this.
We've talked to the EAA in Racine.
We talked to, and they
down there. Great,
yeah, they're terrific. Yep.
They came on, talked about the Young Eagles program, and we actually made us official members of the EAA last year. And we have our, I have my badge at home, and
there
I was just like, it's wonderful. And I love that educational aspect for young people because another thing I remember you discussing is that this industry is an industry that is teaming with jobs.
It is.
All kinds of jobs.
And these are good jobs too. These are they remind me of like trade jobs in the sense that you get trained, you learn how to do these tasks, and then eventually like you're employable pretty much anywhere in the world who needs this work.
Exactly right. Not just pilots too. A lot of people think airline pilots, but you need the technicians, the people that fix the airplanes. You need engineers within the aviation industry. There are room for marketers, people in finance, schlubs like me in communications. And
I'm a schlub. I can get a job here.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
look for the listing under schlubs. Those kind of things are all available within aviation. And now with the drone community, the urban air mobility community starting, all that technology coming to the fore, there's a whole new horizon developing right now in the world of flight, in the world of aviation.
Boy, I never even considered the whole drone aspect of it. That's huge.
One thing we're going to have during AirVenture is a company called Wing, and they're actually going to do demonstrations over part of our campground on what the delivery service is going to look like in the future. And there's a lot of airspace issues that we're working out right now between drones and manned aircraft and things like that. And there's some controversy and some conflict, but that is part of the future as well. And that airspace is going to be shared. And so how do we do that safely and effectively? That's one of the questions coming up for the future.
Well, we got to start talking about how we're going to navigate it now because it's
exactly
coming, right?
It's not
going to go away.
Yeah. And if you're just joining us, we have Dick Nepinski, who's here from the EAA. We are going to be, I'm not doing anything. You don't want me near this. But next week is the big EAA event that it happens, and it brings in, how many people does it bring in? From the people driving in their campers alone, flying in, like how many people do you have on the property?
Well, last year we had a record attendance. This is an aggregate attendance, much like the Brewers have an aggregate attendance throughout the year. 686,000 a total attendance here. Now, that's between 200,000 and 300,000 separate bodies who are on these grounds during the course of the week. And you're right, a lot of them fly in. Think about the draft that the Green Bay had back in late April.
Right.
Tremendous event. They did a great job up there hosting the draft, and they had about 600,000 people there. Once-in-a-lifetime event for Green Bay.
Yeah.
We do that every year.
Every year.
Yeah. And so it's bringing it together. We had people here from 94 countries last year. And you take a look at that, and the world literally comes to Oshkosh for a week. And if you talk to pilots around the world and simply say the word Oshkosh, they know
everybody
exactly
knows
what you're talking about.
That's amazing.
What a wonderful bonding thing for everybody.
Yeah.
Seriously. And even if you think, that's not my thing, if you get in here, there is something that's going to grab you. I'm telling you.
Just the museum alone.
Just the museum. We were talking about this before you joined us, Dick. That little Spitfire.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tiny. It's this teeny, tiny little thing. And being able to get up close to it and see it like this gives you a whole different appreciation for what our armed forces went through and what they experienced.
Exactly.
Looking at the spot where the bombardier set.
Oh, yeah.
The
belly turret, that's amazing.
That's a scary place to be.
Yeah, if you were 5'6", they stuck you in there and you spent 8 hours on the bottom of
B-17
hoping that, first of all, nobody was shooting at
you.
And second of all, that the pilot remembered to put the landing gear down when you landed.
That would be important.
Yeah.
That's helpful. That's very, very,
very helpful.
That is helpful.
Very helpful. Now, Dick, I wanted to ask you about something. There's been a lot of controversy within the Transportation Department, FAA. We had huge tragic accidents happening this year. And I wanted to talk more to you about, you said something interesting off air about the safety record in America with regard to air travel that we do not hear. I personally have never heard anyone from the organization talk about the record versus, you know, what we see in the news. Can you speak more on that, please?
Sure. You know, when those accidents happen, and they're tragic, the one that happened near Reagan National, of course, earlier this year, the Air India one that happened recently, you know, tragic stuff when that happens with airliners, very high profile and so forth.
Yes.
And people say, oh, my goodness, is air travel safe? Yes. Actually, if you take a look at the graph over the last 50 years, air traffic has gotten considerably safer. For instance, just in our recreational community, the accident rate has dropped by about 50% over the last 40 years.
Really?
You know, the better training, better technology in the cockpit, things like that. So those kind of things are happening. And one reason it makes the news is because it is so rare.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get on an airplane and there's a level of trust there. All of us do that. We get on an airliner, go someplace, and there's a level of trust there. And when something like that happens, you go, oh, boy, I'm not in control of that. What is going on there? One thing that these accidents did do, however, is put a focus on the FAA and the technology needs that they have.
Yes.
Everybody's talking about, hey, we have to update the air traffic control system, which is entirely true. The FAA knows it. The air traffic controllers know it. They are understaffed. They need resources. They still have people printing off paper briefings on strips of paper as they did 40 years ago, 50 years ago. That technology has to be upgraded.
Yes.
And so it's great to see that Congress and the White House have agreed, saying we have to put resources behind this and update this and bring this up to the technology which matches what the pilots in many cases have now in the cockpit with ADS-B, the see and avoid, the weather radars and everything else that are such a part of what we have here on our computers, our iPads.
Right.
And a lot of us who fly actually use iPads now just as much as the instruments to see what the weather is, where the airports are, what alternate airports are, our routes. It's an amazing thing.
And that's another job too that we were just speaking about, you know, air traffic controllers. I know they need them.
Oh, they're desperately. Yeah.
Desperately need, and those are jobs that are out there that I understand that they're high stress, yeah, but they are important and
critical
things that kids can, if they see that job, be like, oh, that's something I want to do. And if they're given the support and technology they need,
right,
it becomes more attractive to get into the industry to do that versus seeing the stories we're seeing now. I mean, I applaud the White House and Congress for taking the, because as you mentioned, it's been decades of back and forth.
Yeah.
And now
We'll do it later.
But now they're taking charge, and that's great.
Well, it's like, you know, you have a house and you always put off that maintenance, and pretty soon, you know, everything falls apart all at once.
Yeah.
You know, and same type of situation. You've got one of those things where you've patched along technology for so long.
Right.
How do you bring it up to where it needs to be? And since you've patched it for that long, it's going to take a substantial investment to put into it.
Absolutely. Dick Nepinski is our guest. We are here at the EAA Museum, day one of On the Road with Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. So delighted to be here. If you are in the area, the museum is open. Please come in and say hello. We got coffee, we got crinkle, all kinds of things. No shirts, though.
that's on me. No shirts, sorry.
But we'll give you a coupon. So
yeah.
No, it's all good. We only have a couple of minutes before we got take a short pause, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the scholarship opportunities for kids and what this can mean, because as you and I had talked about, learning how to fly can be an expensive proposition.
Yes.
And so what this offers them, and also what this does for the city of Oshkosh, and why this is so important to this area. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the vast, statewide, countrywide, you can pick us up globally on the app, baby, the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Brennan Center for Justice released its annual survey of local election officials. It found continued concerns for threats against poll workers and the loss of election security funding and staff now that the Trump administration has cut federal election security grants. The survey of over 800 municipal election officials found 60% were very or somewhat concerned about federal cuts to election security services. We reported in March on DOGE cuts of 300 cybersecurity experts from CISA, the Cybersecurity Infrastructure Security Agency, and the suspension of grant funding to states for hardening systems to fight increasing cyber attacks from Russia, China, and Iran. Of the surveyed officials, 62% were concerned by the loss of CISA's direct technical support, and 80% said the federal government should be providing the same or more funding, not less. One-third of local election officials are very concerned about political leaders interfering with the work of poll workers, up 4% from a similar question in 2023. An additional one-quarter are somewhat worried about interference. Officials overwhelmingly, 81%, are concerned about false election information spread on social media, which contributes to 38% saying they have been harassed, abused, or threatened for just doing their job. We have links to the full Brennan Center survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff. Calvin is holding things down at the fort at Radio Park in Racine. Greg and I and Todd Alba on the road. It is our summer road trip for Matt Nair on Air and the Todd Alba Show. We are here at the EAA Museum. EAA Air Venture kicks off on Monday. And one of the grounding people, you've been here forever, Dick Nepinski has been with the EA how many years?
This is 33 now.
33.
Wow. Yeah, I'm old.
But you were an old broadcaster.
I am an old broadcaster, yeah, which means I'm even older. And yeah, and where you're going tomorrow, up Park Falls Butternut, that's where I started my broadcast career.
Oh, that is awesome.
And, you know, it's WPFP, WQCM. It was WNBI at the time, came out of school, and went there, spent 9 years in Park Falls and Butternut, and I've got a lot of those stories. I can even tell you about Wood Tick Racing and Oxbow and all of those things.
You're coming. You're going to have to come with us now.
Wood Tick Racing, a severely Wisconsin thing.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Now, I'm happy to say we won the Wood Tick Race back in the
80s. Where's the hotkey with the applause? There you go.
Yeah. There's actually a photo in the Sawyer County Gazette from May 1984 that I still have, back when I had hair. And it holding the trophy with the bug on top of it.
That is priceless. That is just priceless. One of our colleagues, Terry Barr, worked with you years ago, I believe, in television.
Yep.
And was your nickname Napster?
Well, mostly Napper.
Napper.
Yeah. Yeah, that was dubbed.
Mine's too. But it's usually because I'm sleeping a lot.
Let's go back to the scholarship program that that the EAA offers, because learning how to fly can be a very expensive venture.
Yeah.
So, How far do you take these kids?
It all depends. You know, some of them are, we have college scholarships, several hundred thousand dollars of scholarships that we hand out for our kids that are going to aviation programs, maybe technician programs. Some of them are very dedicated, some of them general scholarships, but we've got a lot of great benefactors who have helped fund that through the years. And one we have is called the Ray Scholarship Program, Aviation Scholarship Program, and it allows kids up to we've got more than $2 million a year that we fund through local chapters throughout the country. And they're full flight training scholarships, up to $12,000.
Wow.
So these kids can earn their private pilot certificate, and they become chapter members. They help with the chapter, and it's for young people, basically ages 17 through 21. They earn these things. They go off, get their pilot certificate. A lot of them get into the track. And what's really nice is, out of every 100 people who start flight training normally, 80 of them drop out.
Yeah.
We've reversed that. Now, 75 to 80% of them complete their pilot training, and the dropout rate is only about 20-25%, which is incredible.
That's amazing.
And that's what we're trying to do throughout the industry, to get people engaged, to make sure that affordability comes into it. Because, yeah, flying is an expensive pursuit with everything involved. But once you learn it, you have it, and so many doors open up to you.
Well, and we were talking about jobs a little bit earlier. Airplane maintenance jobs are really good jobs.
Yes.
I have a friend whose son just finished. And, again, he doesn't want to fly. He doesn't want to be a pilot. That's not his thing. Maybe, you know, the math was the math, because there's a lot of math involved in being a pilot. That wasn't his thing, but he found his niche in the mechanics of it.
Yeah, and that goes back to what you were saying earlier, is that it's not just about pilots. It's not just about flying. This industry has so many opportunities for careers, and that's something that you at the EAA talk about, to expose to people and let them understand all of those things that are available. Because, I mean, you don't think about that. You don't think about all the people involved. You think about pilots, and you think about the people who directly affect you.
Exactly. Yes. Yep.
Yes.
And there's so much more than
and
that.
So much more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
There is. I mean,
absolutely.
All of us who fly have somebody who takes care of our airplane. Yeah. Most of us are can do some of the simple stuff, but they have somebody who, you have to have your airplane inspected every year or every 100 hours, whichever comes first. And there are people that have to sign off and do that. And a lot of those people are getting to retirement age. And so there is a whole backfill situation here for young people to get involved. And we can help them with scholarships and help them direct them toward that career path.
It's a great, come and check it out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to just mention real quickly in the time that we have left, Dick, is people who are afraid to fly.
Yeah.
Are there programs for people to take advantage of, aren't there?
There are programs, and there are reasons. Why are they afraid to fly? Is it something that they're not in control? Is it something that, the weather, you get a little bit of a bump sometime. You're flying along and things might bump. And so you have to have those kind of things. And so we'll work with people. A lot of the aviation organizations will have that, the fearful flyer type situation.
Right, right.
Or the pinch hitter course. Let's say your spouse is a pilot and you ride along. Well, what happens if something happens to him or her? Can you land the airplane? We have courses, and other organizations have courses that say, okay, we can do basics. We teach
That's
you how
great.
To operate the airplane. Yeah. And so what is the fear, first of all? What's that individual fear? What can we do? And sometimes it is getting people to take that first lesson with a flight instructor to understand how it all works. It's not a magic box that propels itself into the air.
Right.
And, and some people think, and people often ask me, how do airplanes fly? What makes them fly? So that's easy, money. And, but actually, it is. It's a machine like any other machine, like a car, lawnmower, motorcycle, powerboat. It's learning to understand how it operates. And once you do, then it all comes together.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, though. This is, aerodynamics play a role and shear and all these things. And so, I can see once it is explained with logic.
Yeah.
It's not just a magical box that all of a sudden we don't know how it works. Yeah. We just get it and we start it up and we drive and it goes.
I trust the three people in the front to just press the right buttons and I'll be in Cleveland. It'll be fine.
And so do I when I fly commercial.
Yeah.
Any last tips for folks who might be heading up next week?
Okay, first thing, July 21st through the 27th next week. We start on Monday morning. You can go to ea.org/tickets to get the tickets. If you're coming up here by car, go online, get your parking. You'll save $7 a day on parking.
Nice.
Get it it there, and you'll zip right through and get to the flight line.
Dick Nepinski with the EAA, thank you so very, very much.
Always a pleasure.
We are delighted to be here. We have news coming up next, and then Hal Bryan is going to talk about a little bit of the history of the EAA.
Can't wait.
Why Oshkosh? No one knows.
And we have T-shirts.
And we got T-shirts.
I didn't bring them.
You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We are live on the road from the EAA Museum. Stay with us. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The Labor Department releasing new numbers showing producer prices, what companies pay for wholesale for items, held steady last month. And numbers out yesterday showed consumer prices went up last month by the fastest pace since February compared to a year ago. Another 20 Palestinians killed at an aid distribution site in Gaza. Many in the region have been critical of the way those sites have been set up, saying food and water is distributed in a chaotic and dangerous way. While this incident did not involve shooting, it did turn into a stampede, says ABC's Marcus Moore.
All along, they've made the point that these incidents of the shootings that have occurred have all been away from the sites. But the issue that critics are bringing up is that these sites have been described as, quote, death traps.
The Pentagon ending the deployment of 2,000 National Guard troops in Los Angeles. They were sent there to help the city deal with the protests over Trump administration immigration policies. This is ABC News.